Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 3. We'll be looking at this one verse this morning. Judges chapter 3, verse 31. Under the theme, the simple power of God. The simple power of God. Though it is just one verse, it is the word of the Lord. It is not just thrown in as a little afterthought. It is the very inspired word of God, written to you as people for your edification, your instruction, for your conviction of sin and your encouragement. So hear the word of the Lord. Judges 3, verse 31. The son of Anath, who killed 600 with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us now through the hearing, reading, and preaching of your word. Help us, Lord, to continue to worship you, actively participating in listening to your word as it is preached. Hearing, Lord, what you would have us to hear, to believe and to believe by faith, and to use in our life so that we may live in such a way as to glorify you. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, with such a short time to just skip over this little verse or to add it in with another section of Scripture, and that's not wrong necessarily to do, but it would be inappropriate for just to spend a little time on Shamgar, and just because it's just one verse, but not a lot about the enemies or his victory. This little verse is almost like a little logistics report, like the time and the place and the person's name and the enemy, who it is, and the weapon. And so we don't get a lot from this report. But God does give it to us, and he gives it to us for a purpose, that his purposes in the life of Israel at that time and in our lives as well might be accomplished. His purpose in our life. And so while there's not a lot here, if we use other parts of more details of this account and see how God achieved his goal through his simple power, through the simple means of his power. And by that I mean God used simple things to achieve deliverance for Israel. And in that word, deliverance for Israel, which we see in this passage, that is the work that God has done for Israel. But he used a simple means to do it. And we have throughout this time in Israel's life is to preserve Israel as a covenant with them, with Abraham, and through whom he made a promise of the earth, which is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That's what's happening here, even with Shamgar. God is keeping covenant with his people. He is making sure that they, as a nation, exist and last as he carries out his purposes. And we just sang in that psalm, that latter part of that psalm, where it talked about God's counsel will not come to naught. What he has said, he will do. What he has promised, he will keep and fulfill. And that's what he's doing here in the life of Israel and Shamgar. And while there are times that God does use extravagant external manifestations of his power, as he did, for one example, in the life of Israel when they were crossing the Red Sea. Amazing manifestation of God's power to divide that sea, let them walk across on dry land, and then when their enemies from Egypt pursued them, to bring that sea back on top of them. Amazing demonstration of God's power to deliver Israel in that moment. But there are other times when God just uses simple, common means to deliver his people. And yet, in that, There is great power. There is great power. And these simple means reminds us that God works sometimes in extravagant external manifestations, sometimes in mysterious ways, and sometimes in simple ways to accomplish His will. It is mysterious how God brought His Son Jesus Christ into this world by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin woman. Mysterious and wonderful. And yet, His birth was in a manger with animals. A simple birth. For someone who has been proclaimed to be the coming king, to be the king. He was born in the company of animals. This same baby grew up as a carpenter, a simple man in a simple occupation, who would later demonstrate God's power through the healing of all manners of diseases, even raising people from the dead. Wonderful manifestations of God's power through Jesus Christ. And yet He would die like a common criminal. And yet even in that death, though it looked common, nothing extravagant, God was manifesting His power to save people, to wash away their sins, and to redeem them from the power of sin and death. And so God does at times use mysterious things. He does at times use external manifestations of His power. Sometimes, as in the case of Shamgar, He uses simplicity. But never forget, it is God's power that is at work. It's not always an overwhelming, grand demonstration of power. Sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes it's short. Sometimes it's quick. But in all these things, He is working to keep His covenant promises. And that is what we have here in Shamgar, in Judges chapter 3, verse 31. Here we see God working in some mysterious ways and in simple ways. The mystery is more about, and the simplicity is about the means He used. And so we're going to look at some of these things here in verse 31. And in this verse, we're going to see three ways that are related to God's power where it's displayed. God, a simple man. He's just a man. And He's one man. God means. He uses a farm tool. An ox goad. That's not, militarily speaking, a powerful weapon. In fact, it's a very weak weapon, militarily speaking. Thirdly, God has a simple message. So that should be easy for you to remember. God displays His power in a simple man, a simple means, and a simple message. So first, let's look then at how God displays His power in a simple man. Let us have to answer this question. Who is this man Shamgar of Anath? There is more we do not know than what we do know. We do not know where he came from. We do not know what his experience in battle were, such as we did about Othniel and Ehud. We do not family he came from. These are some things that are, in a sense, a mystery to us, which is a reminder again to us that we do not always know everything about how God works, when He's working, where He's working. We do not know everything about that. Even today, we don't have every answer for all things in which God is doing. And sometimes these are a mystery to us. But we, as we go through God's Word, we are constantly learning more and more about God, from God, and how He does work. And the more we study the Scriptures, the more we will know how God does work. And it's important to know how God does work, so that when people claim God is working in some way that goes against the Word, against His Word, we can say, no, that's not God, because God's Word says something different. We have that struggle even in the church and in the world today. And that's why we must not come to a passage like Judges 3:31 and just pass by it thinking, as the policeman says to a crowd that is gathering, move on, nothing to see here. There is something to see here. There is something to see even in the man Shamgar. There is a work of God that he is doing in Shamgar, and so we must probe further to get more understanding. And the first thing we can know about things that we do not know, Shamgar, the name itself, was not a Hebrew name. He was not a Hebrew by heritage. That's where God was using him, but he was not an Israelite. But this name, Shamgar, is not an uncommon name. In other sources outside the Bible, other historical documents, this name Shamgar is found in many other ancient texts and inscriptions on things from other pagan cultures and even from pre-Canaan life texts. So his name is not uncommon, but it's not Hebrew, it's not Israelite. So here we have God using somebody outside of the nation to deliver his people. He may have been a descendant of the marriages that, if you look back in chapter 3, verse 6, where it tells us, and they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons, and they served their gods. He could have been a child of that. Many years have passed since this has started, and people have intermarried, and now they have children. And this could be some of that effect that was going on in Israel, where they had marriages, intermarriages, and they had children. And so in that marriage and in that family, they would name their children after their own heritage. Not only after their own heritage, but after their own gods. And that's what's happened here. It tells us here, Shamgar, the son of Anath. And Anath was a female goddess, a warrior goddess. In this name comes up several times in other cultures, false religions. She was known as a goddess of war in Egypt. And as I said, there's more about Shamgar that we don't know than we know. There is some mystery here, but there's also simplicity about him in that God has chosen not to give us any details about his strength or his war ability to fight. We are just told that he killed 600. We aren't told anything about his previous time in battle. Which reminds us in a very simple way that God can use whomever he chooses, anything or anyone, to accomplish his purposes. As we sang in that psalm, his counsel will not come to naught. It will happen, and God will use it. Use his power to bring about his purposes. Regardless God chooses or anything he chooses, in Matthew 3, verse 11, John the Baptist was calling the people to repent of their sins, and he warned the Pharisees and Sadducees who were heritage, saying, we are Abraham's children. For John the Baptist, I say to you that God Abraham from these stones. He's able to raise up a deliverer, even from a mixed marriage possibly, or even somebody maybe who came in from another pagan culture and became a worshiper of God. We don't know exactly all these things about Shamgar, but we do know that God is sovereign over all people and over all means, and he uses whom he will, even if they are of no reputation. Even if we do not know who they are. Shamgar was not only a display of God, but also God's using a simple means. And that's what we see here in the middle of the verse. After we talk about Shamgar, it tells us who killed the Philistines with an ox goad. And so God displays his power in simple means. And that's what we see here in the middle part of the verse. And what do we notice here? What does it tell us? Even the familiar with an ox goad, but it is a farming implement. It is a tool. And so that tells us even a little bit more about Shamgar, that he was likely a simple farming man, a simple farmer. At least this point in his life, he had occasion to have an ox goad. The Bible says he killed 600 Philistines. So we see even more the simplicity of Shamgar as a man, even in the tool that he had that he was using. He was a simple farmer, using a simple farm tool, an ox goad, to defeat 600 Philistines. That's amazing in and of itself. But it's not a demonstration of great power, great chariots to defeat people who had horses and chariots like the Philistines. So as we look at this simple means, we have to ask, what is an ox goad? An ox goad is a tool used by a farmer to train and prod oxen as they plowed the ground. It was a pole about 6 to 8 feet long, and on one end it had a sharpened tip, whether that be the wood itself being sharpened or a metal tip being placed there. On another end it would likely have like a spade or a shovel, like we know of a shovel today, and that part was used to clean off the plow that the oxen were pulling. But the ox goad was used to manage and to train oxen as they were pulling a plow, whether it be a single ox or multiple oxen. Why would God use such a simple tool in his providence to defeat these 600 Philistines? Why would he do that? Well, the Philistines at this time, in this area where Shamgar was, the Philistines had a history that whenever they conquered another nation or another people group, they would not only take their weapons like any conquering force would to make sure they couldn't fight against them, they would also do away with their blacksmiths. They would stop the ability of their people to even make weapons. This is how they managed or how they conducted arms control. We see this chapter 13, verses 19 to 21, when the Philistines were over Israel. It says this: "Now there was no blacksmith throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, 'Let us make spears,' but all the Hebrews would make swords or spears. But all Philistines to sharpen his mattock, his axe, his sickle, and the charger for the plowshares, the mattocks, the forks, and the axes, and to set the points of the goads." And so when the Philistines had control of a people or a certain part of a people, they would control their power to fight against them by doing away with the blacksmith. They would have to come to their blacksmith and get their farm tools made, but not weapons. And so here we see a conquering force thinking that they can go against the counsel of the Lord, go against the Lord's people, and by taking away their arms, they take away the power of God. And in their weakness, God showed them his strength. Just as God is able to use simple men in his work, he is also able to use simple means to defeat his enemies. And he used a simple common farm tool to kill 600 Philistines. Mind you, the Philistines were not armored with ox goads. The Philistines were known to have swords and spears and chariots. They had all the advantages of a superior force and weaponry. And yet God, in a simple display of His power, used a simple man of no reputation with a simple farm tool to defeat them. We don't know how He did it. This is still part of the mystery. We don't know if He did it with the point of the goad or the spade. We don't know if He did it all at once in one day or in several weeks or if it was just Him and others with Him. But what we do know is that God used Him and used this simple means of this ox goad to defeat their enemies. Some of those hidden details we do not know about. But we do know what God has revealed here. A farmer, a simple man, without a weapon, without a military weapon, God using simple means to accomplish His purposes. Now what does that tell us? That God's power is not according to our circumstances. That's what Paul was telling us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Though he was weak, though he had been sent a messenger from Satan to buffet him, to weaken him, that by God's grace, and God's grace was sufficient for him, there would be strength in God's grace. God is not limited by your circumstances to manifest His power. And let me also say that God is not limited by your sin to work strongly in your life. If that were the case, there would be no evidence of God working in our life. If God only worked in your life when you were just right on with Him, what a pitiful life that would be. But God works in our life through our sin, in spite of our sin, because He has a purpose to accomplish. And that is to keep His covenant with you, with the church, through the Lord Jesus Christ. There are times when God displays His power, even in our lives, even in the church's life, historically speaking, and even now in our day, sometimes He displays His power in a grand way. And oftentimes, and it seems like more often than not, God's power is working in simple ways. Simple ways. Simple ways. We call them the means of grace. Through His Word, through prayer, through the preaching of His Word, through the sacraments. These are simple things. One preacher said, what do we need to start a church? We need a book. We need water. We need bread. We need wine. The simple means of grace. A few weeks ago, I don't tell a lot of stories, but I will tell you this one. A few weeks ago, Cynthia and I were sitting down at lunch with somebody in another city, and this person wanted to tell us of this great experience that they'd had with the Lord, that they had been seeking for God to give them the gift of tongues, and that they finally, God did manifest Himself to this person and gave this person the gift of tongues through the speaking of one word. And how that so elevated her thought of God. Here she was seeking some powerful manifestation. And not just seeking the simple power of God to work in her life daily. You can see that the common works of God, the common means of grace, were not as important to her as some external, extravagant manifestation of God's power, which would say to her in some way, you have connected with God more than how other people have. And I say this because I want you, as you prepare for coming to the Lord's table, to come through the simple means of grace. To come for God's power to deliver you from your everyday sin through the means of grace that He's already provided. You do not have to this week have to be seeking some kind of mountaintop experience. You simply come to the Lord by the means of His grace through the Lord Jesus Christ that He has already given you to be forgiven. I can only imagine some of the Philistines who maybe, some of them may have Peter saying, we lost 600 to one man armed with an ox goad. We were slaughtered. And I can only imagine those commanders saying, God is not limited to our circumstances, nor the circumstances or power that others may have. Because with God, all things are possible. These are the words that Jesus spoke in Matthew 19, in verses 16 to 26, when He was responding to a man who asked, what good things shall I do? Jesus said to him, keep the commandments. And the man, you know, he said, Jesus, knowing this man and knowing his weaknesses, said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come. Hearing that saying, the young man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly, I say to you that it is hard of heaven. And again, easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? And Jesus said to them, with men this is impossible. And this is the simple message of Judges chapter 3, verse 1. With God all things are possible. With men, it would be impossible to slaughter 600 men with an ox goad, who are those 600 men being horses and spears and swords. But with God, all things are possible. And you need to remember that as you come to the Lord this week. So often I hear of people when they are struggling mightily with sin, struggling heavy with sin, that they don't go to the Lord because they don't think it is possible that the Lord would forgive me for these sins. And it's not that you should be forgiven. That would preclude mercy and grace. You should be judged. You should be under the penalty of sin. And that's why it is only with God that it is possible that you may receive forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus meant when He said to His disciples, who then can be saved? With man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And that is His message here, and it's a simple message here in Judges chapter 3, verse 31. God displays His power in a simple message, and it's even stated in a simple way, isn't it? Just these last and He also delivered Israel. This is that recurring theme that we will see, that if each one of these judges, God is saying, He also. And so when we see the word in our language, we know that something else is being referred to, right? Something else of that this is saying, this also happened. We are also after what other judges did in the power of the Lord. So this goes back to Judges 2:16, when the Lord says He would raise up judges to deliver them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Shamgar also refers to Judges 3, verse 10, saying the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he judged Israel. Also, the Spirit of the Lord reflects that time of power that God enabled those judges to do this work. The Israel needed deliverance, for they were doing evil in the sight of the Lord. We cannot forget that. As we go through each one of these judges, we are reminded they were doing evil in the sight of the Lord. They were not able to deliver themselves from their physical enemies because God had delivered them to their physical enemies. They were not able to deliver themselves from their spiritual enemies, which was themselves. They were their own worst enemies. And so God was delivering them also. And that's the simple message. He also delivered Israel. This is a reference to what God had done in the past and what He was now doing. In the past, He had done it through some more extravagant ways that looked more powerful on the outside. But nothing has changed here. The power of God is in the words, He delivered Israel. Regardless of the manifestation of that power, whether He used somebody who was skilled in war, or whether He used somebody who tricked a fat king, or whether He used somebody who was just a farmer, it is the power of God to deliver them that was in action there. He also delivered Israel. This work of the Lord through the life of Shamgar is confirmed later on in Judges, where we'll read in chapter 4, it says, "Did I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the people of Ammon and from the Philistines? Did I not deliver you?" So what is going on here? He also delivered Israel. Is the power of God to deliver them. And that is the message here. And it was the message of Jesus as well. A simple message, one of deliverance and rescue that only comes from the Lord. And so as the Lord God was raising up judges, He was not only saving them from their enemies, but saving them from His wrath. And Jesus came to do the same thing. And it is not a complicated message. It's a wonderful message. And it is a message full of many, many details. But it is not complicated. It's a glorious message because it is speaking of God's power to deliver people from their sin, from the effects of sin, the fruit of sin, the cause of sin. All these things, God's power is working. And in all this, God is glorified when He takes a sinner who was once against Him and turns him to be for Him. That's the power of God. That doesn't always happen. That doesn't always happen in great external manifestations that we always hear about. In fact, most people are being saved quietly. Many people are being saved quietly. Many young people grow up in a home having heard the Word of God. And quietly and simply make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Others, sometimes God does use some wild things and delivers them from wild situations. And we see this even in the book of Judges. Some are more wild, but some are quiet. It's a simple message in all its wonder and glory. And the message is, like Israel, you cannot save yourself, no matter how hard you try. You cannot make yourself right with God, even this week as you come to prepare for the Lord's Supper. Because your sin, even now, is so great, you cannot make yourself right with God. It is impossible, but with God, it is possible. And so the same message that was being given to us in Judges chapter 3 and given to us is communicated to us today through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a simple message. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 13, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Did you hear that simple message? Children, listen to this simple message. That if you confess and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Children and adults, that's the message of God. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, here's the simple message, whoever will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Here's the simple message again. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Three times in that little passage, Paul says, here's the simple message. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is impossible with man, but it is possible with God. And so it is even as we prepare to come to the Lord's table. We come whereby this message was preached through the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. We may look back, what an extraordinary thing that was happening. It was simply a man who was convicted of a crime. He was tried for the crime, and he was hung on a cross like any other robber. This simple means God used to save your souls. And is that same simple means God uses to continue to fellowship with you as you prepare to come to Him and examining yourself for the Lord's coming to the Lord's table? If you would have looked at Jesus in Jesus' day, you would have saw nothing about Him that would have made you want to follow Him. He was a simple man. You recall what we memorized in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2. Tell no comeliness, no beauty that we should desire him. If you looked at the cross to die upon, you would see no beautiful thing. As much as crosses are made to be beautiful these days, it was not a beautiful thing. The cross was a despised thing. It was the most despicable way to die, and it was a people were crucified. This was not something that was special for Jesus. But there was power in this cross, unlike any other. He was being despised and rejected by men, as Isaiah 53:3 tells us. And so how this simple man, Jesus, and this simple means, as he did deliver Israel, Isaiah 53:6 tells us, by laying on him the iniquity of us all. And that's what you need to remember as you come this week to be preparing for the Lord's table. Your sins have been laid on Jesus. That's the means. And that's the message. Do not think that you need to create some other means of coming to the Lord this week. Do not think that you need to punish yourself, that you need to beat yourself up, that you need to live in guilt. Do not think that way any day, let alone this week preparing for the Lord's Supper. As we sang in that psalm, just a few, several minutes ago. He has pardoned us for what? All our iniquity. And as we see here in Isaiah 53, He has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Remember that as you come preparing for the Lord's Supper. Come as those who are trusting in God's means and the message that He has raised up a deliverer in Jesus Christ. Yes, you should come genuinely repenting, sincerely repenting, thoroughly examining. But you come by the means of God's grace, not any that you might invent. And you come by faith, believing that on Jesus, He has laid on Jesus all our iniquities. That's how you must come to the Lord's table. That's how you must go about preparing yourself. Come in simple and genuine repentance. Look at God's Word even this week and see where you have sinned against Him and confess that in the means of God's grace that He's already provided. And that's the simplicity of this message. He also delivered Israel. He has also delivered you. If you come by faith in the means that He has provided in Jesus Christ. I can't exhort you enough to make this a week of simplicity. Don't make it harder than what God has made it. Because God has made a way for you to come to Him. Even this week, even if you're not coming to the Lord's Supper daily, when you come repenting of your sin, God has already provided the means, Jesus Christ and His cross. With men, it would be impossible to defeat 600 armed Philistines with an ox goad. But with God, it's possible. And it's certain. With men, it is impossible for you to make yourself right by your performance. Even your preparation will not be good enough. It must be met with grace and mercy. And that is where you find the simple message of Jesus Christ, grace and mercy, as one who will deliver you from God and to God. And so as you go about preparing, prepare, relying on the simple man, Jesus Christ, the simple means that God has provided through this wooden cross, His death and resurrection, which is God's message. You can't do it. That's impossible. But God says, I can do it. And I have done it in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, as this sermon is preparing us to come to Your table next week, how we do ask, Lord, that You would be doing that work. It is impossible for us, Lord, to repent enough. It is impossible for us, Lord, to change our behavior enough. It is impossible any of Your grace and mercy. But we know, Lord, that it is possible with You, and it is certain that You have done it through Jesus Christ. And so I pray, Lord, for Your people, that this week may be one of relying upon Your means and Your message. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. And that on Jesus Christ You have laid the iniquity of us all. Oh Father, help us this week to turn to You strongly and relying upon You only to do that work which is impossible for us to do.